outlier moves. Rethinking the path to success.
There's a moment in every creative process, at least for me, that is utterly, terrifyingly, and sometimes beautifully solitary. It's long before the crews arrive, before the actors are cast, before the first deal is even inked. It's just you, a blank page, and an idea that feels both impossibly huge and fragile enough to shatter. It's the moment you have to be your own producer, your own critic, your own biggest fan. All at once. I've lived in that space for most of my career, and that's why I've become fascinated, maybe even a little obsessed, with a certain kind of entrepreneur, the ones who don't just visit that solitary space, but choose to build their entire world there. We call them solopreneurs, but I prefer the name we're using today, the lone wolf, the contrarian who looks at the conventional pack mentality of business and decides to go it alone. But how do they do it? How do you forge a successful enterprise when you are the entire enterprise? That's the journey we're embarking on today. We're not just talking about being your own boss. We're talking about being your own everything. We'll get into the mindset, the strategies, the brutal challenges, and the unique rewards of taking that leap. So the question I want you to hold on to is this. Is the lone wolf's path one of isolation, or is it the ultimate form of freedom? And that question, isolation or freedom, it's a bit of a trick, isn't it? Because the truth is, it's never one or the other. It's a pendulum. It swings between the two, sometimes in the same afternoon. And the real genius of the lone wolf isn't choosing one over the other, but learning how to survive and even thrive on the momentum of that swing. Let's talk about the freedom side first, because that's the siren song. That's the part that calls to so many of us. In my world, you fight tooth and nail for a singular vision. You build a world on the page, character by character, line by line, and then you hand it over. It goes to a director, producers, a studio, and they all, with the best intentions, start to add their own colours to your canvas. Sometimes it's wonderful, sometimes it elevates everything, but other times you feel the soul of the thing start to dilute. It becomes something collaborative, something less than what you first imagined. The lone wolf gets to skip that step entirely. Think about that. The idea that sparks in your mind at 3 a.m. can be the exact same idea you present to the world. Unfiltered, uncompromised. There's a purity in that I find it breathtaking, honestly. It's the closest thing to a direct, unmediated translation from thought into reality. There's no committee to water it down, no marketing team to sand off the interesting edges. But, and this is where the pendulum starts its swing back, that same purity can be a trap. That lack of friction of outside perspective can create a perfect echo chamber. When you're the only one in the room, your ideas sound brilliant. Your logic is flawless. Why? Because there's no one there to say, wait a minute, have you thought about this? That's not just about loneliness. That's a strategic vulnerability. It's the difference between a singular vision and simple tunnel vision. And navigating that distinction, well, that's where the real work begins. So what is that work? How do you break out of the echo chamber without inviting in a whole committee? Sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? Stay alone, but get an outside perspective. From what I've seen and from what I've lived, it's not about finding more people to agree with you. It's about deliberately, surgically finding the right person to disagree with you. It's about building what I call a trusted adversary. This isn't your mentor. It's not your business partner. And it's definitely not just a friend who tells you everything you do is great. This is the one person you can show the messy, half-formed, terrifyingly vulnerable first version to and trust that they will attack it with surgical precision and genuine care. I have two of these people in my life, only two. When I finish a first draft, and I mean a real first draft, the one that I'm convinced is both the best thing ever written and a complete embarrassment, it doesn't go to my agent, it goes to one of them. And the feedback I get is never, here's how I would write it. It's always, why did the character do this here? It doesn't feel true. Or this whole sequence feels easy. You took the easy way out. They're not trying to co-create. They're stress testing the creation. They are the friction that I, in my perfect solitary echo chamber, desperately need. and finding that person or those people is an art form in itself. It's a strategic act of vulnerability. But what happens when the feedback isn't just a tweak? What happens when the whole thing just fails? When the venture doesn't take off, the product doesn't sell, the script gets a hard pass from everyone? In a big company or on a film set, there's a diffusion of that failure. The blame gets spread around. The marketing was off. We were ahead of our time. The third act reshoots killed us. For the lone wolf, there is nowhere to hide. The failure is yours. It is absolute. It is intimate. And that sounds brutal, I know, but there's something incredibly powerful in it. Because when you can't blame anyone else, you're forced to learn on a profoundly deep level. The feedback loop between action and outcome is pure, direct, and unsparing. You see, with perfect clarity, the flaw in the logic, the weakness in the design, the misreading of the audience, the ego gets bruised, sure, but the craftsman gets a masterclass. It's in that solitary post-mortem when you're the only one in the room with the wreckage that you find the blueprint for how to build it better the next time. Stronger, smarter, you learn that the failure wasn't you, it was the attempt, and you are the one who gets to attempt again. And that right there is the heart of it, isn't it? We started with this question of isolation versus freedom, as if they were two opposing forces you had to choose between. But what if that's the wrong way to look at it entirely? What if the real freedom is found inside the isolation? The freedom isn't just about calling the shots. It's the freedom to have that intimate relationship with your own failure, to sit with it, learn from it, and not have its lessons diluted by a dozen other voices. It's the freedom to build your own system for feedback, to find that trusted adversary who sharpens you rather than a committee that sands you down. You see, the lone wolf isn't truly alone. They're in a constant, intense dialogue with the work itself, with the market, with their own ambition and their own limitations. It's a path that demands a different kind of courage. Not the courage to lead a team, but the courage to be the entire team, to be the architect of your own wreckage and your own resurrection. So I guess the final question isn't really about whether you could go it alone. It's about whether you're willing to be that honest with yourself, honest enough to need that outside friction, and honest enough to own the outcome, whatever it may be. Because in the end, that solitary space, that blank page where it all begins, it's not just a starting point for the lone wolf, it's home. Warm, thoughtful music swells up slightly. Thank you for spending this time with me. Go build something true.